Then he, God, made them male and female, and he named them, Adam, in the day that he created them. That's Genesis, on the creation of man. So both books are saying the same thing, huh? That this male and female also are in one. Created he them, male and female, and called them Adam in the day that he created them. He created them plural, but called them one name, Adam. So Adam is the soul that's in every human being, male and female. Adam is the sacred core in the soul of every human being, male and female. So Adam is me singularly, and Adam is humanity taken all together. Huh? So if God says he made the man, Adam, he didn't say he made any man. He didn't say any man. We could call him Joe or whatever. God fixed it so you have to call him by a proper name that God gave him, Adam. God says he created the man, Adam. And he says, and he told the man to attend the garden. This is the Bible. And everything says the fish of the sea is for you. Everything. This is what Genesis says. And the Quran puts it almost in one statement. It does put it in one statement. Says he has made to be of service to you whatever's in the sky and whatever's in the earth. Genesis is saying the same thing, but with different language, different narration. God is saying to us, and this is what make men great men. This is what make great men and great women of religion. When they see this language of God, they see themselves. God's language is not to show you himself. God's language is to show you yourself. So when they see this great language, they see themselves. And they say, wow, am I this? I have to respect myself more. I have to do more with my life. God made me a creator. God made me a boss in charge of great things, big things. God made me and trusted me with my own life. God trusted me with my own life after he created it. And God trusted me with this powerful environment we call the world and all the powerful things that's in it. God entrusted this to me when he created me. I don't see how anybody can believe that and not go forward in a positive way with their lives. I don't. That's what was driving me. I didn't know this. I had never read this in Genesis. I had never read this in the Quran. All I know is that something was in me, inside of me, that couldn't be satisfied with all the darkness that was in the way of my vision. That's all I know. And as I said, it was not Islam driving me. It was a lot of big question marks driving me. A lot of big question marks driving me. Now, we have moved from the smaller creation to the bigger creation. And even the smaller creation is so big that God had to reveal to us that that small creation is not bigger than the external world. The whole universe. God says to us in our holy book, he says, and man think not that your creation is a bigger creation than the heavens and the earth. He made this world to serve us, even the angels. He made even the angels to serve us. But we are not bigger as a creation than the world outside of ourselves. No, God makes that plain to us. Say, but man is foolhardy and cocky, hasty. He gets a drink of the heavenly juice and it goes to his head so quick. Say, he gonna rush out now and think he can manage the whole world by himself. If he rises to the top of a nation and that nation is victorious over other nations, now he's going to take it upon himself to manage their lives too. He's going to tell them how they should live, how they should run their lands and their nations. Foolhardy, hasty, cocky, thinking he has to be told then, right? Your creation is not bigger than the world. The world that God made is a bigger creation than you. He has to be told that. Praise be to Allah. So we're talking about the bigger interest now. Now, understand that all of this is made for Adam. Jesus is recognized in the New Testament for his greatness. But Jesus, in the narration about his greatness, his own life goes back to Adam. It says in the Genesis of Jesus Christ is on this wise, and it goes on to trace backwards, go backwards, connecting Jesus with his past life until it gets to Adam. And it says, and he was created by God. So Jesus' life, according to the New Testament, his genealogy of his life goes back from himself to his mother and to those that were before his mother, on and on and on, until it gets back to Adam, the man that was created by God. So what is the origin of Jesus' being? Adam. Adam. Just as it is for all of us. And that's why the prophet gave us the picture of steps up in the heaven, the great steps up to the heavens. And he gave us the picture of Adam on the first level, and then Jesus Christ and John on the second level, and Joseph on the third level, and Joseph on the third level, yes, and Idris on the fourth level. Some say that Idris is Ezekiel in the Bible. I don't know, I can't say that's true or false. And the fifth was Moses and Aaron. No. The fifth was Aaron. Sixth is Moses. And the seventh is Abraham. Abraham. So these are the steps up the ladder. These are the steps up the ladder, according to the vision of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he said, at each level, how were these men greeted? They were greeted, peace be unto you, brother, my brother. All but Adam and Abraham. Even Jesus has to greet Adam, my father, just as Muhammad had to greet Adam, my father. And even Moses, powerful prophet, he has to greet Adam. He has to greet Adam, my father. Oh. Somebody may be there and say, oh, but God was Jesus Christ, Father. Read again the genealogy of Jesus Christ in your Bible, New Testament. And as far as God being the Father of Jesus Christ, God was the Father in that sense of every prophet. Of every prophet. And every prophet that was made prophet by God, oh, it was a powerful conception. A powerful conception. When that prophet became a prophet upon the inspiration of God. This is not to say we don't accept that Jesus is Christ. Yes, we do. Muslims, all Muslims, if you understand your religion, you have to accept that Jesus is Christ. And that Jesus was not the son of a man. Son of a man. Well, you just said he was son of Adam, didn't you? Well, who said that Adam has to be a man? I said he was male and female in the beginning. In the beginning, he was not just a man. He was male and female, according to his Bible and according to our holy book, the Quran. And Allah says in our holy book, says, the same one who created the earth, the world, from the beginning, has the power to recreate it, to create it again. He who had the power to make a man from dust certainly has the power to make a man from a woman. Yes, Independence Day. Independence. God wants us to be independent. God, the God that made us, created us, along with all other human beings, want black people in America and all over the world to be independent. He wants us to have the same independence that he wants every human being to have. The independence to live the richness that he created for you in your soul and in your brain, in your makeup. He wants you to live that richness to its fullest. Oh, it's great wealth. There's a great wealth in the creation of a human person. He wants you to live it to its fullest. And he wants you to live it not as a single person. That's why Adam must be called also the many, as well as the individual. He don't want you to live that just for yourself. He wants you to live that for humanity, for the human race. He wants you to do it for the human race, not for one. Because originally, he did it for one, but that one was the capsule, the atom, from which the human race would exist. Was not it? So in the beginning, all men and women were in one, in the one God created. Now, when we want to go up, rise up from our inferiority, rise up from our poverty and ignorance, rise up from that to high station in the world, we should try to connect with the God that created us for that rise. Connect directly if you can't find a leader that you respect. But if you find a spiritual leader that you respect, connect with that, behind that leader, through that leader. Connect up again. And then work not just for yourself selfishly, but work for yourself, but with charity in your heart to see all men and women get where you want to go and have what you want to have. This is what God created us for. And it says charity starts at home and spreads abroad. And in the Quran it says, same thing, you have to know how to relate, yes. But there's something else I got on mind. You have to know how to read your book and the Bible together. You have to know where they correspond, where they flow together. All right. So, we know that Muslims, too, are obligated to live not just for yourself, but for your fellow man. And for all people. Allah says in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet, says, and he is a mercy to all the worlds. A mercy to all the worlds. The first people to claim him was the Arabs. And then the Africans and others, Persians and others, in close vicinity of the land of the Alps, the peninsula of the Alps. They claimed him. And I believe even today, they are not seeing him correctly. Most of them. Most of them. He's not for Arabs to claim. He's not for Africans to claim. Or Pakistanis to claim. Muhammad is for humanity to claim. Mankind to claim. God didn't create Adam for the white race. He created Adam so all people will have their life from him, from their first father. He didn't mission Muhammad so Muhammad could become the leader for Arabs or for Eastern people. He created Muhammad, made Muhammad the man, the prophet he is, and the messenger of God so that he would become a mercy for all people, to all the world. This is what you have to know in your heart and understand it clearly. Then it will motivate you to respect other people more, to have an interest in other people more, to want to build not just for yourself, but want to build so that all people will find pleasure in what you're doing, will find gratification in your work, will find some contribution to their life in what you are doing with your life. This is the way it has to be. Independence. Here is the people now, deprived of their, denied their independence, stripped of their independence, robbed of their independence, having their independence taken completely away from them. No human being in the history of man has had his independence taken away so thoroughly as did we by slavery. New world style. Yeah, that's no joke. No joke. Very serious. All right. No matter how much a parent dominates a child, that parent never takes away the individuality of their child and the freedom to act and to have a life as much as slavery took away our individuality and our freedom to act. Yes. So we lost our independence completely. Afraid to even think our own thoughts if we thought those thoughts were against the interests of our slave masters. Many of us. Now, you know, you had the strong ones, but they were few. They were very few, like Nat Turner and a few others, Frederick Douglass. Very few, the great many couldn't think. And believe me, you got too many of us right now can't think. We can only think to the extent that we know the white man approves. And it's not the modern white man. We still got that old ancient white man in us telling us what he wants. We ain't acquainted with the new reality enough to hear the voice of the new white man. That same old ancient white man is talking to us still. Then you know you're a nigger. You know you're inferior. Don't you listen to the black Muslims telling you you could have a CPC. What is a CPC? What the hell is a CPC? Collective Purchase Conference. Yeah, you know ain't no nigger got no authority to go to another country and buy no goods from them without a white man leading them. So you better not join that CPC thing. Oh, ancient white man talking in them. Yeah, you let him talk all he want about Allah's God and the boss over the United States and the president. Don't you believe that? You listening to another nigger. That's all you listening to. Now, girl, are you going to stay with me or listen to that boy you got there? No, master. I'm going to listen to you. That's her. That's her and him. He said, that's him. I was talking about her. Now, let's come to the word loyalty. Then we're going to bring the two of them together and close out. Now, look at the word loyalty. When you hear the word loyalty, loyalty says that the person who has to be loyal or is obligated to be loyal is not absolutely independent. Not absolutely independent. You owe somebody something. And the first loyalty is to God, isn't it? If we are religious people, first loyalty is to God. And you know he gave a covenant to Abraham. Yes. And it's mentioned in our religion that now the covenant that was given to Abraham has been passed on to the Muslims. And the Christians say it was passed on to them through interpretation, translation and interpretation. It was passed on to them through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. It's a new covenant. And we have a new covenant. It's a new covenant that came from Abraham, our father Abraham. Or the millah of Abraham. We have a covenant. And we should be loyal to that covenant. That's the first loyalty. Be loyal to the God that has found you for yourself. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Found you for yourself so that you would have yourself. Be loyal to that God. Then you know we have to be loyal to the nation where we have citizenship. If we are citizens of the United States of America, we need to be loyal to that citizenship. Loyalty is very, very important. Don't get back to independence. Loyalty, very, very important. If you break the first loyalty, you're going to lose the first independence. If you break the loyalty to God, you're going to lose the independence that God created you for. You won't have that independence anymore. You will think you're independent, but you have the independence of a rat. You'll fall from the independence of a man to the independence of a rat. From the independence of a man to the independence of a hog. From the independence of a man to the independence of a dog. Huh? From the independence of a man to the independence of a snake. That's Genesis. Huh? Yes. So you won't keep that independence if you break the loyalty. Now we want to be as independent as we possibly can be in this United States of America that celebrates its independence for all of its citizens, I'm included, every July 4th. We want to have our independence inside of this great nation that knows the value of independence. We cannot have that independence without also respecting our citizenship and obligation on us to be loyal to this government in which we have and enjoy citizenship. Now, if we were going to have some argument with this, we should have argued in Frederick Douglass' day. We should have argued when Rosa Parks was in jail. But now that Rosa Parks is out of jail and living a good life and they ain't leading no demonstrations, it's time for us to stop having these problems with our independence as citizens of this United States of America. Loyalty. Loyalty. We have to be loyal also to the best tradition of our own people. Mama taught you something that stands up now after you became a Muslim, just as strong as it stood up when she told it to you and you were Christian. Be loyal to that. Be loyal to the best advice that you got from your Christian parents, from your Christian relatives, from your Christian friends, from your Christian church. Be loyal to the best that you got from them. Just because you're a Muslim doesn't mean you're not going to be loyal to that stood your life up before. If it was good, it's good in Islam. Islam doesn't come to throw away anything good. Islam is not here to condemn anything good. That's why God says to us in our holy book, and cooperate, work together. Cooperate. Upon what is standard established knowledge. It didn't say Islam. God did just reveal to prophets. God created man. And created him good. And excellent. That's what he says. Uh-huh. Yes. And made your form beautiful and excellent. That's what God says. So he did that before a prophet was made. Before a prophet was given a book, a revelation, a message. God had made your form, and God said he made it beautiful and excellent. So that means you already had habits in your life. You already had principles in your life. You already had high values in your life. You already had respect for the thing that is more important, the sacred thing, an idea of what is sacred in your life, even before he sent the first prophet. Human beings on this earth had that. And you know, in our religion, that's called the Muslim that God created. Say, God created you and named you in Muslim. This is in our holy book. And named you Muslim. He named you Muslim. And I guess the Christians and who understand Christian theology, they will call it Christ-like. The Christ in man. Praise be to Allah. Allah Akbar. Lordy, Lordy. We have a history that begins with us being slaves, being on ships as captives, and then made slaves in the New World. We also have a history of being in Africa, but that history is dead. It was denied us, none of us, and they can't get any help for it either. Now, we know of a gentleman, fine gentleman, who traced his lineage back to Africa. And he says that his family can be traced all the way back to Kunti Kinte. Kunti Kinte. Quincy Kennedy. Quincy Kennedy. That's his relative. Alex Haley. Relative. Before slavery. Quincy Kennedy. Quincy Kennedy. All right. K.K. Quincy Kennedy. Sounds like somebody getting ready to write a song. Kunti Kinte. Anyway, he said he could trace his relatives back to Kunti Kinte. But how many have done that? How many can trace their relatives back to Kunti Kinte or anybody else? How many can even trace their family back to a particular part of Africa? Very difficult. We would do a more accurate job of telling you where you came from by just studying your features and matching you with the people on the continent of Africa. We would do a much better job. And understand that all countries, hardly any country, have been made up, their populations have been made up of all one people all the time. So even though you came from Africa, it doesn't mean that you perhaps were there always. You could have come from some other part. You could have come from Saudi Arabia. Your father's first fathers could have come from Saudi Arabia and went to Africa. Yes, they're so close together. Saudi Arabia and Africa are just like that. At some point, you can throw a rock from Saudi Arabia into Africa. Look at the map. All right. And you could have come from Persia. You could have come from, who knows, India. Who knows where those people come from? So give up that thought. I got to know my race, and I'm black, and I'm... Give up that. That'll wear you out forever, and they know it too. That's why they want you to get hung up there so they know you'll be occupied forever and get nowhere on this earth. God knew that human beings were going to be scattered all over the earth, and they were going to be looking for that national pride. Yeah, my nation was this, my nation is that. God says, and all of you are created from Adam. And Adam was created from dust. That's where your great history goes back to. Your great history goes back to dust. To the dust of the earth. That's your first home. The dust of the earth. Not Ethiopia. The dust of the earth. So if we think origin is going to connect us with our great brightness and brilliance and pristine essence and power, show me all that in dust. So God says that's where he made you from originally, from dust. Clay, water, dust. That's enough for me. That tells me that all human beings have common origin in the dead earth. That's what God means by dust. He means that dead, no life. He made you from death and gave you life. So all human beings have origin in common earth, common dead earth. And it was God that created them for life and created them for human identity. And he made you human before your social interactions and progress as a social unit brought you into these other names, tribe, nation, etc. Independence and loyalty. So loyalty implies that there's not complete independence. It's a shared independence. Because if I have to be loyal to somebody, then my own life and my own freedom and independence depends on that relationship being supportive of my freedom and independence, etc. We want to make great progress in America. We are not where our souls bid us to go. Our souls want us to go much further than we have gone. The end of the road is not to have the government recognize us as equal citizens along with other citizens. The end of the road is not for us to have opportunities to make as much money as another person that belongs to this great nation, or to rise up high and become the president of a bank or the president of these United States. No. The bidding in our souls wants us to go much further than that. So what is further than that? Further than that is to have your own, to reclaim your own. I'm using the words of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher in the Nation of Islam. To reclaim your own. If you reclaim your own, then you want to get back what was taken from you. And what was taken from you was the opportunity to accept or reject another national life or cultural life. You listen to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But you were captured, and you were not given the freedom out of opportunity to say, I don't think I want this life that you're going to make for me in this new world. So if God is God, then God himself is obligated to give us back what was taken from us. If the world can't give it back to us, God is obligated to give it back to us, because they took from us what was God's own property. It was not their property. They took from us our human life and the ability to have it in our own hands. They took that from us. They took from us the freedom to exercise the biddings in our sacred core that God created, and he said no one is to plow in that area but himself. And they locked it up. They denied it expression. So to restore me, for me to reclaim my own, I have to have the freedom to listen to my core, the sacred core of my being. And we have to ourselves do things that will write our history over again. Yes. We have to write history over again. It doesn't take all of us. We don't need 20 or 30 million African Americans to do this. The whole world began with one Adam. We don't need everybody to do this. We just need those who have the strongest whispers in the core of their being. That's whispering to them, it's not enough yet. You haven't restored yourself enough yet. You know, if a bird is born, a sparrow, and if something could be done to make that bird forget that it's a sparrow, and it starts believing it's a crow. Now it's living with crows, and it's given full citizenship in the nation of crows. It sits on the highest branch of the tree with crows. It hunts as a free citizen of crow nation with crows. But one day in the sacred core of that sparrow, there's going to be a whisper. And he's going to start being unhappy with the crows. Unhappy with the crows. Now, our professional class of African Americans, they are that sparrow group. And they've been with the crows. And they go and fly the highest branch in the tree. Bill Cosby, way up there in the top of the tree. Oprah Winfrey, way up there in the top of the tree. Colin Powell, way up there in the top of the tree. All these great black giants, sparrows, way up there in the top of the tree, thinking they crows. And soon as it dawned on them, from the core of their being, you're not a crow, you're a sparrow. Oh, they start weeping on the branch. See, how come this professional class run and get freedom and then run into a dead end and have no more enthusiasm for building the race? It's because they're gradually beginning to realize that they're not white folks. And never will be white folks. We're not created to be white folks. You suppose Allahu Akbar, God is greater. You're supposed to have a black person's song in your soul. You're supposed to have a black person's light in your soul that was turned on by the same God that turned the white man's light on in his soul. And until God turns light on in our soul for ourselves and free our minds to live for ourselves and to build a better image of our own people for ourselves, just like the Nation of Islam asked us to do, but do it in the name of truth, sanity, and charity for all. And I guarantee you, you will rise. And you will rise in independence. You will rise in respect for loyalty too, buddy. And you will find the doors of the world opening up to you. The nations open up to you. Opening up to you. Welcome. And you won't have to get it there and say, yeah, well, you know, they had us in there, but you could feel, man, they still don't accept us. That's what the professional class is telling us all the time. Well, you know they don't accept us, man. You get your independence, they'll accept you. You have to get your independence. And your independence is not to change life from a sparrow to the life of a crow. And don't envy the crow because he got a little bigger body than the sparrow. That sparrow is wise. I feed them in the back my backyard almost every day. And the sparrows and the crows, they eat together. Crow come in, he's bad, you know. Come in, he walk high and bad, stepping high and bad. Sparrow pretend he ain't even around to see if he'll be decent. If he come at him, sparrow just takes off. Sparrow say, you ain't gonna be around here always. Now, some birds, they got human sense. See, I gave you a picture of a sparrow, even though we got much more sense than sparrows. Some birds, they got strategies. There was a big bird in the territory of these smaller birds. And there wasn't but so much food there. And before, the smaller birds hadn't been enjoying it. These newcomers now, they're coming, they got big stomachs. They're eating up all the food. This is the truth. This actually happened. A bunch of these little smaller birds flew on the back of this big bird and loaded up on the big bird until they weighed it down. And every time a big one came in, they would do that. They flew on the, just got on the back of the big bird and kept getting on the big bird until they weighed the big bird down. Big bird got out of the area. Got back out of the area. They reclaimed their territory. This actually happened. I got a witness to this. In fact, I didn't see this. I got a witness to this. The person told me this happened right around his yard. Yes, he saw this. And once I saw more than one small bird on the back of a bird. I don't know why they were there. I said, boy, they go for plane rides too. I didn't know what they were doing. But he said, this bird was flying. He managed to scare them with it. About two or three birds. I know it had to be two. I believe it was three. At least three birds were on the back of this big bird. Yes, some birds ride the back of other birds. They do that. Some small birds, they know how to ride the back of bigger birds. You can see this in the Nature series on television. Nature series. Programs on nature. Yes, so I'm going to conclude this now. So what I want to do with this address today, and what I want to do at 2979 167th place when we run out there, is to tell you that our struggle started before the Temple of Islam. Our struggle to reclaim our own started before the nation of Islam. Started before our acquaintance with Islam. And God was with us then, back then. All of us who were sincere and wanted to be right with God. God was with us and God claimed us. God claimed us.
that these are my people. These are my servants that have been taken from me.
Yes. You take a human being's life out of his own hands, you take that person from God.
So God said, these are my people that I'm claiming again
because they want me in their lives. See, God won't come into your life unless you invite him. But we invited him.
Even before Nat Turner,
our people in slavery, suffering the evils of slavery in this new world, they invited God to come in their lives. They had nothing else. And he accepted to come into their lives.
So whether you know it or not, I know that God was with us to reach the height that our souls are yearning for. As long as it's lawful and honorable, God wants us to get there. And now, God is one, according to our book and the Christian sacred book,
God is one that when you are done an injustice, and you turn to God for help, to have him be your God, and you be his servant, he does not just give you what was taken from you. He multiplies it. He gives you much more that was taken from you. Now, this is the way of God. In the Quran called Sunnatullah. Sunnatullah. This is the way of God. Now, what was taken from me? The right to be responsible for myself, to manage my own life, to plan my own future on this earth. That's what was taken from me. Now, if God's going to give me that back and give me more, he's a God that doesn't only give you that what was taken back, he gives you much more. So you know what that tells me? Guess what history tells me? Bible history, world history, guess what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me? That our destiny is not just to rise, but to rise up to be equal with the best on this earth. With the best on this earth. And it's God's way many times to give the leadership in the earth to people who were robbed like we were robbed of our independence and of our human dignity and self-respect. Yes. So I believe that God spoke through many before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe he spoke through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe he speaks through all people. And the more responsibility you have in the life of people, the more important you are to God. Because now you're affecting many people. And we all belong to God. So I believe that God has taken us as a special people for him to give his special favors to. Special favors to. That means we are not going to be just well off as a minority group or well off as blacks or as African Americans. We are going to be high in the order of the world. High in the order of the world. That's our destiny. Our destiny is to be high up in the order of the world. And we don't have to worry about it. Because God is taking care of it himself. Don't have to worry about it. How are you going to do that, Brother Imam? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just keep working. God is doing it. God was done doing it before. God is doing it now. I'm just going to keep working. Because God speaks to each and every one of us. God speaks to and through each and every one of us. And the ones who are pure, and by pure I mean you're innocent. You ain't got nothing devilish in your mind you want to do. You ain't got no selfish plan that you want that's going to hurt somebody else. or disrespect the rights of others. Persons like that, God speaks to you, and God speaks through you to others. Okay? And I know, see, there's always a few who get the big picture of God, what God is doing. Many get small pictures of what he's doing, but a few will get the big picture of what God is doing. And I know that this season in our life now of struggle to get our life in good shape is the season of group effort, collective effort. And there are going to be those among you, I don't worry about it, who's going to come together. You're going to come together as Christians. You're going to come together just as professional people in some professional area. And many of you are going to come together as excellent Christians. And many of you are going to come together as excellent Muslims. And God is going to bless Imam W. Dean Muhammad with the excellent Muslims. Yes. Not anybody else. God is going to bless Imam W. Dean Muhammad with the excellent African-American Muslims. All of them. And we're going to take this work all the way. And we're going to be seen as the Honorable Marcus Garvey says, we're going to be seen connected again in the constellations of the heavens. That's going to come. Am I holding paper in my right hand? I am. If you can't see it, that doesn't change the reality. I'm holding yellow paper in my right hand. And as true as that statement is, it's not as powerful and as true to keep on ringing and living until it's fulfilled as my statement to you. We're going to go rise up into the highest honor of the world. And Imam W.D. Muhammad is going to be the leader of the best of the Muslims, African-American Muslims. Allahu Akbar. So it's good always to be with you all. And I thank Allah for us, that He brought us together. And I will see you soon, inshallah, God willing. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see your local distributor. And thanks for listening.